with Professor Sarah Gravett, education expert, executive dean, faculty of education at the University of Johannesburg, ahead of the release of the matric results this afternoon by the Minister of Basic Education. That's what we're discussing on 0861 987 000. If you want to be part of this conversation, Twitter handle is at PowerFM987. Prof, the Equal Education are saying that they're quoted saying that we need to focus and scrutinize this pass rate and look at the dropouts between grade 2 and grade 12. Do we know just how many learners do we lose along the way? Where do they end up, and why should we be concerned about that?
Yeah, well, you know, there are different numbers that are mentioned, but roughly, I would say, looking at the different numbers that you see different groups mentioning, around 50% of learners seem to be dropping out, and that is a huge concern, of course. It means that we would have, we do have a huge problem with youth that are unemployed in the country, and one of the factors that come into play is the dropout. So what I think is crucially important is the increased focus that we do have at the moment on TVET, on TVET colleges, to ensure that there are also other pathways for young people, that schooling is not the only pathway to get education and training. So yes, that is indeed a concern.
Yes. And what about the disparities between urban schools and rural areas?
Yeah, you know, if one looks at those disparities, they are often also linked to socioeconomic circumstances.
Mm.
And, you know, when one is in a privileged situation, it's often difficult for one to understand the circumstances that we have in many schools in the rural areas, you know, where the infrastructure is still in many cases very poor, where there's no running water, no electricity, and for teachers to teach under those circumstances are quite challenging. And, you know, for young people to come and to school every day with haven't been fed properly at home, etc. These are huge, huge challenges that we have in education. So the situation around education is more complicated than just what happens in schools as such. It's socio-economic circumstances definitely also play a role.
Mm. The quality of our teaching, and is government doing enough, the department itself, I mean, to teach the teachers? Is that quality of teaching improving over the years when we look back, Prof?
You know, it also depends who you ask. We would claim, I think, at universities that recently we also now have a new policy in terms of teacher education at university. And I am of the opinion that the new policy that required new types of qualifications will definitely eventually lead to better prepared teachers. But, you know, even if you have a very, very good teacher education, one needs in your schools, when teachers enter those schools, good induction programs for those schools and support for young teachers. You know, our own research shows that we would have students coming from the University of Johannesburg all doing the same program. Mm. And when you follow up with them within 2 or 3 years, some will tell you that they were very good, well prepared for the teaching profession. Other will tell you that they don't think they were well prepared. But when you start probing, you will see that those who were in schools where they were given lots of support initially are the ones that are flourishing, and then they would say they were well prepared. So schools also definitely play a role in welcoming young teachers, in providing the circumstances for them to learn together with mentors in the schools.
Yeah.
So that definitely plays a role. And then also, of course, it is quite sad, as we all know, what was revealed recently about posts that are being sold, and particularly with regard to school principals. You know, this is a situation that is intolerable. We know that good schools often, or not often, usually have very good school principals and good leaders.
Yeah.
And if these type of things happen, it inevitably impacts on what happens in our schools and with our children, and we shouldn't tolerate that.
Yeah. But are there programs that in place, Prof, I mean, to train the teachers as they do their day-to-day jobs? And there have been criticism that these unions, you just mentioned that they are more concerned about political issues than the improvement of the skills of their own members being teachers to do their job.
Yes, indeed. I think one shouldn't generalize. There are some unions that are really doing good work. Many unions are involved, all the unions at the moment are involved in training of teachers. So there is a inclination, at least, from all the unions to want to be involved in supporting and training their members. However, you know, if we have a situation where we tolerate the type of behavior that seems to be happening in many provinces, it's simply not acceptable. And one would ask yourself, why are these people in education? You know, when one is an educationist, when one works in education, ultimately you work for children and you work for their futures. And if you then if you then tolerate this type of behavior, one questions your role, definitely.
Sarah Graffett, education expert, executive dean, faculty of education at the University of UJ, talking to us, giving us views as an expert in this matter. Ahead of the release of the matric results this afternoon by the minister. Do you want to ask a question or maybe be part of the conversation? You're welcome to do so. Talking matters education here on a Power Breakfast. 0861-987-000. 0861-987-000. That's the way to get in touch with us. That Twitter handle is at PowerFM987. Are you concerned, Prof, that we've had criticism that, you know, last year we were boasting about 75% pass rate, and some saying that if you look at that closely, only a tiny percentage of that, those learners who are going through matric, they have maths and science, and we should be concerned in a developing country like ours that we have engineers, we have doctors and people who have this the maths and science. Should we be concerned about it?
You know, yes, again, when one looks at the pass rate, it's important not only to look at the percentage, to say 75% or 77% of students have passed, of learners have passed.
Yeah.
One should look at it in a more nuanced way. One should look at how many of them passed at a very low level. Because we know nowadays, if you pass matric at a very low level, matric doesn't really mean that much anymore. You need to pass matric at a level that will enable you to access some type of post-school education, whether it's at colleges, whether it's at University of Technology, whether it is at universities. So that in itself is also important, to look at how many learners have access to post-school education based on their results. But that is also not sufficient. In many areas, particularly at universities and universities of technology, to study specific courses, you need maths and science. And this is really concerning, that we have small numbers of learners who are doing maths and science, and we will have to see what the results are this year in terms of the maths and science. But what was also concerning, particularly what was mentioned by Umalusi, that even in maths literacy, it seems that our students are not faring well. So that is also concerning. Another issue that happens, unfortunately, in some schools is because of the overemphasis on matric results, and you know that one wants a high percentage of your students getting, or you want 100% pass rate, that students are, learners are being advised not to take these subjects. And that is very, very concerning because these are gateway subjects and we need to strengthen those subjects, not only for the learners themselves, but also, as you rightly said, for the benefit of the country.
Yeah. The topic that, you know, got everybody talking was the introduction of Mandarin at our schools. Where do you stand on this? Is it a positive thing, you know, the China playing such a prominent role in the world economy and for the government to introduce this to our students, and given the ties that we have as a country and the continent with China?
I think one should open many opportunities for learners. So I don't have fundamentally a problem with that, but I would first want us to ensure that we put the resources into those areas where they are really needed, and to ensure that we have, as I said before, very good education in the early years of schooling in terms of language, in terms of maths, in terms of science. And this is where the resources should go mainly, because that would lead to eventually to improved education and improved results. So in principle, I don't have a problem with introducing Mandarin. I think it's opening the world to our learners.
Yeah. Just lastly, before you leave us, Prof, just how many years do you think it's going to take us to get our education system on par, especially with the neighboring countries? We've heard that there's a good education system in the neighboring countries like Botswana, even Swaziland. Yeah. How many years are we looking at?
Yeah, that's a very, very difficult question. You know, we work a lot with at the University of Johannesburg with a country such as Finland that has an excellent education system, and they said it took them 20 years. But, you know, if we look at, we've been in since 1994 already a long time into democracy. So I don't think we should expect miracles overnight. It's not going to happen. However, what we need is full commitment of all role players, and also stop blaming each other for the issues in education. If all parents take education seriously and give support to schools as far as possible, if all teachers take their roles seriously, if all school principals take their roles seriously, if the unions do their jobs well, if the departments of education do their jobs well, then we must eventually see an improvement in education. But it would mean commitment of all role players, including universities. And we need to ensure that we give excellent teacher education to our students who will be becoming teachers.
Prof, thank you so much for being with us this morning here on our Power Breakfast. All the best.
Okay, all of the best.
You're welcome, yeah. All the best in the new year. That's Professor Sarah Gravett, the education expert, the Executive Dean, Faculty of Education, UJ, and of course, all eyes will be on the Minister of Basic Education, Angie Motshekga, who's going to be announcing this National Senior Certificate pass rate. We've been warned there'll be a drop in the pass rate by Amalusi. That's going to happen this afternoon in Midrand. And of course, Power FM will be updating you on the latest coming from that side. 8:30, that's our time to look at the news headlines. We also have traffic and, of course, sports. And we'll look at the markets with Owen and Gomer right after that.
Thanks, Lawrence. Good morning. The wait for hundreds of thousands of the matric class of 2015 is nearly over. Minister of Basic Education Angie Motshekga will reveal the national and provincial pass rates this evening, while pupils will be able to get their individual results from midnight. It comes after the exam quality assurance body, Umalusi, said the latest matric pass rate will be lower than 2014. Civil rights group, the Opposition to Urban Tolling Alliance, is pleading with motorists to make their voice heard and to participate in calls for public comment on the proposed amendments to the ARTA Act. There's just one day left for people to give their input. The changes could make it easier to include e-toll infringements on lists of other traffic violations without proper scrutiny. And U.S. Republican Party frontrunner Donald Trump has unveiled his first TV ad of the 2016 U.S. election campaign, reiterating his call for a ban on Muslims entering the United States. The commercial opens with footage of the billionaire candidate addressing a rally before sagging into an image of President Barack Obama and Democratic frontrunner Hillary Clinton, then mugshots of the couple responsible for the San Bernardino killings last month. The ad states that Trump will quickly cut the head off ISIS and take their oil, and will stop illegal immigration by building a wall on the border with Mexico, with that country footing the bill. More news at 9.
And in power traffic, if you're traveling on the M1 northbound, traffic is still very slow between Goldreef City and the Crown Interchange this morning. On the N1 northbound, look out for a crash scene that's blocking the left lane just before you get to the William Nicol Drive exit.
Power Sport.
Definitely, you know, I mean, that's one of my wishes, and every day I always pray to God that one day I will get my chance to play, and I'm still waiting on that, and only God knows, you know. But other than that, I also want to clear the issue that I haven't been injured for that, because whenever I go around, people are telling me, are you still injured? What? I've been okay from the previous season. It's just that maybe luck is not on my side by getting game time, but if the team is doing well, you know, I can't complain. I have to wait my